So, continuing on with our Brahma Viharas, we come to the fourth and final one, Upekkha, equanimity, or Upeksha in Sanskrit, which is, it could be said, the pinnacle of the Brahma Viharas. Although it's a bit of a subtle one, really, it's easy to be misunderstood. Equanimity is not, of course, indifference. But it does mean non-attachment, even-mindedness, letting go. So in the Atthadipa Sutta, the Buddha said, "Monks, be islands unto yourselves, be your own refuge, having no other. Let the Dharma be an island and a refuge to you, having no other." So this could be easily misunderstood. I don't think the Buddha was saying that we should depend on ourself, nor should we cut ourselves off, isolate ourselves from the world. Rather, what I think he was trying to say was that we cannot depend on the external world for our contentment, for our happiness. The external world, of course, the ordinary everyday world of existence is subject to the three lakshanas, the three marks of existence: impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and insubstantiality. And more basically, you could say that, of course, we're always going to be subject to ups and downs, to pluses and minuses, to pain and joy, to good fortune and bad fortune. That is the nature of things. So we cannot depend upon those, ultimately, for our happiness. Our contentment should be non-dependent. Equanimity means not being blown about by the worldly winds. Stability in the face of the fluctuations of worldly fortune. It is indifference only to the demands of the ego self with its craving for pleasure and position, not to the well-being of one's fellow human beings. So equanimity is born from an understanding, a realization that our happiness and that of others is inseparable. So there is an insight element to Upekkha, because at the ultimate it means that you live unconditionally. But of course, like the other three Brahma Viharas, it requires practice to develop. So that's what we're going to do now. So for this session of the Upekkha Bhavana, in the first stage we will develop loving kindness towards ourselves, just like in the Metta Bhavana. But then we imagine how it would feel if we were unperturbed by the worldly winds. How would it feel if we didn't feel those stresses and strains? Then we choose a neutral person. Consider and try to engage emotionally with their suffering and their joy, because clearly we're all subject to suffering and joy to some extent. We bear in mind that they themselves have created many of the conditions for their suffering and their joy. Not in a judgmental way, but just, you know, because that is the reality of things. It's an understanding of the way of things. And we may find that we develop a patient understanding, which is the beginning of equanimity. Then in turn, we choose a good friend, difficult person, and work with them in the same way, trying to deepen the sense of equanimity. And then we equalize the feeling of equanimity between ourself, the friend, the neutral person, and the difficult person, and radiate out the emotion towards all sentient beings. So, that's what we'll do then, or attempt to anyway. So if you'd like to get into a comfortable meditation posture, or as comfortable as possible, so once again, allowing your eyes to close. And turning your mind towards the practice of meditation. Turning your mind's eye inward. Creating a broad awareness of your physical self, your emotions, your thoughts. How it feels to be you right now. Upekkha Bhavana. So the first stage in which we develop loving kindness, metta, towards ourselves. As before, finding, if possible, a sense of joy or kindness, friendliness towards oneself, gently allowing that to grow. And then, in the midst of loving kindness towards yourself, imagine how it would be to be equanimous. If you were unperturbed by the stresses and strains of life. Not indifferent. Not isolated, able to function. Without being blown about by the worldly winds. What would that be like? Perhaps at times we have some experience or caught a glimpse of being equanimous. And in the second stage, we bring to mind a neutral person. Consider their suffering and their joy. Try to engage emotionally with their suffering and their joy. Bearing in mind that they themselves have created many of the conditions. This is the way of things. You may develop a patient understanding which may in turn develop into equanimity. We are not attempting to be indifferent to their suffering or to their joy, but attempting to realize that this is the nature of things. And in the third stage, we bring to mind the friend. Initially generating loving kindness towards them. And then considering the joys and the suffering to which they will be subject, or they have been subject. Our metta may be transformed to compassion or sympathetic joy. But ultimately, with a realization of the way things are, a sense of patient understanding, leading perhaps to equanimity, may arise. So when we consider our friends, ups and downs, being subject to everyday existence, do we get a sense of that patient understanding? And now the difficult person, also subject to life's ups and downs. Try to engage emotionally with their suffering and their joy. And again, try and develop a patient understanding leading to equanimity. And then in the final stage, we bring together these four individuals, ourself, neutral person, friend, and the difficult person. And we endeavor to equalize the feeling of equanimity between them. And then ultimately radiating out the emotion out from this room to the city, ultimately to the entire universe, so that it touches all sentient beings. Allowing your equanimity to come into contact with all living beings whatsoever, however big, however small, however near, however far. And so we bring the practice to a close.